F you.
K-8-R-U-H, good morning.
Good morning. How was your weekend?
Very busy. How about yours?
Let's see here. I did my breakfast with the guys on Saturday and got some shopping done, some running around done, stuff like that. Nothing really exciting. Sunday, met up with the guys at the Armada Flea Market. We were there all morning. That was a pretty... Picked up some... Oh, that's what I forgot. I was going to bring... Bought some bagels. I was going to bring one in. Oh, well. But, other than that, nothing really productive done.
How is that flea market? Is there a lot going on out there? I haven't been there in years.
It's crazy, actually, how many people were there. It's like, the place is packed, and it's pretty big, too. It's like, I'd say, 30% plants and flowers, 30% baked goods and things like that, and about, maybe 20% is just flea markets. I don't know, maybe it's a third each, but there's a lot of people baking and selling honey and jams and baked stuff, and a lot of people selling, what else did I say? So flea market is what I would call a traditional flea market, people selling their junk, about 30%.
Did you find anything interesting in the flea market portion?
Well, I bought some bunch of bagels, and some peach jam. And other than that, nothing really had me. A lot of knives, and I'm a big knife fanatic, but nothing really piqued my interest. Mostly lower quality stuff. Nothing really decent, per se.
That's cool. Yeah, Saturday we had a birthday party and a graduation party. That kept us busy. And then Sunday didn't have a lot going. We went to the city pool and then had some friends over in the evening. And now I'm paying for that. I'm just exhausted and ready for this day to conclude so I can go home and get some stuff done and lounge around.
Well, that's good. I mean, sounds like you had some fun. Worth paying for. Good deal. It's going to make it tough. The radio projects are going to be mostly secondary to the weather breaks like this. Although Wally and I are working him mostly. I'm working on some equipment we found and trying to get it up and running, a VHF DMR machine. We'll see. Got a lot of things going on with that. Did I say UHF? VHF.
You did say VHF. What are the hypothetical long-term plans for that thing?
Put it online, connect it to Brandmeister, and you'll be in the north end. Not way north, but up in the north end a bit. So that's the long-term plan. So there's a lot of things on the path to that getting done.
So if I hypothetically had a bunch of Motorola VHF stuff, might want to sit on it for a little bit, because there might be some use for it for some folks that we know.
I mean, that's possible, you know, because that was the one concern I had, was that, you know, nobody's got any VHF DMR equipment except for the people that bought the dual bang, the dual band Bofangs. But I guess it's a thing elsewhere. It's just not here. So there could be possibly some potential.
All right, yeah, I got to see it. I've been floating them around. I got about, I think I got 8 VHF mobiles between 4550s and 5550s. And then I think I got 6 HDs, the older 6550 that I was trying to sell as a package. I got somebody shopping them right now for me, and but they might become a thing. I might not try too hard and see if some of the guys local around here want them.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. We're, you know, I don't know the time frame. We've got to get some, but I think we're at the point where we can get the machine ready. And then it's just a matter of, you know, there's a site and there's all the equipment and just about everything. So there really shouldn't be a whole lot keeping us from getting it going.
Well, that's cool. That'll be good to have one more repeater online.
There ain't enough repeaters with no activity. You gotta add one.
Yeah, and I would say most of the repeaters locally that I'm aware of, are there's activity on them, so people are talking, which is a good thing.
I think one of the biggest problems with radio these days is people like to get, you know, they like controversial topics, and they bring them to the radio, and it's, you know, you should, never should, no politics, no religion, nothing like that, and of course, then the next thing you know, fighting starts, and or I don't like that group or something like that, or there's a, you know, something happens. Then a small clutch, you know, pulls away. They hole off in their own little hidey hole, you know, so they can all carry on like-minded. In the past, it wasn't like that. You know, you had a limited number of repeaters, bunch of hams. You had to kind of all get along. You don't have to do that anymore. You can say whatever you want, offend whoever you want. God-given right. Everybody's always knowing that. It's always been your right. Doesn't make it polite.
Yeah, you know, that's society, though. You know, that's not just on radio. That's everyone. Everybody wants to figure out how they can divide and dislike and all kinds of negative stuff. So everybody's a little too boisterous these days. You know, I don't always want to know your political opinion. I just want to, if I like you, I like you. And your political opinion shouldn't have a whole lot to do with my feelings on you. But we've created a situation that's the case. And unfortunately, we're left with the ability to judge based on things that we probably shouldn't.
Roger that. Yep. Oh, well. Tis what it is. We got a lot of choice now. And it's like, you know, in the past we didn't have Discord and Slack and, you know, all these other places, you know. There's whole groups of hams that rarely get on the air. You know, they just sit on Discord all day. Look how much we do it, you know, so. So, and that's not a criticism per se, but it's like it's more like it just wasn't available. We just didn't have these other avenues where we could go, you know, carry on. Now they're just right at our fingertips on our little devices and all that stuff. It's just so easy to you know, I'm going to call Anthony on, you know, hams over IP, and we're going to chat back and forth on Discord. And, you know, it's like, hey, what do you guys got coming? Ham radio. Have you used it today? Well, no. W8RCY, good morning.
Yeah, that's so true, John. And some of it's frustrating, but then you gotta realize that you gotta utilize all your tools, and that's okay. But I'm with you. I definitely see a lot of activity on Discord from people that I've never heard on the air or rarely hear on the air. So I totally understand what you're saying, and I think if you can focus on being on the air and use those as supplemental tools, probably the best case scenario. Go ahead, Donald.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Anthony. I just walked into the middle of this today. You were talking about something about religion, politics, social media, and all that. I jumped in here a little late, but I left Facebook, and what was the other thing I was on? LinkedIn. Facebook and LinkedIn in March of 2023, and I have not been back. Part of the reason why I joined Discord was because of the amateur radio channels, and I've even dropped a few of those. You know, it's just with the group of people that you talk with, and you know the rules, you know how to play by the rules, you know how to scratch the surface of the rules and not dig in, and you know, there's no major falling outs, you know. I mean, the days of disagreeing, you know, we agree to disagree, those days are long gone. But it's just the fact that, you know, if you can be civil about it, scratch the surface and move on, I'm all for it. Other than that, I don't go to certain subject matters for sure. Sean, over to you.
Well, I believe you're right. I think the repeater dropped on you there. Not you. It's something I'm trying to troubleshoot. But I got to get the thing upgraded to All-Star 3, and then I can install some additional software to help me troubleshoot the issue. But, yeah, that's just it. Like, Wally and I, we every once in a while, we scratch the surface on political differences and stuff like that. And mostly we laugh about it, make jokes about it, you know. Never really get hardcore into it because, you know, like I said, it can get offensive and, you know, it's ridiculous. Anthony?
Well, changing the topic, you got to take the good with the bad because we're saying the bad has all this extra technology, but it's also good. Sean, you're talking about putting All-Star 3 on the node that's attached to this repeater, and you're going to have a ton more controls and be able to troubleshoot. And troubleshooting remotely is a huge benefit to you and everybody that helps manage this network. So there's a lot of good with the technology to go along with the bad. Donald?
Absolutely right. I agree 100%. But it also takes the people that are on it. And unfortunately, look what happened to the GMRS side. Before it really got bad, you know, when we're hearing those two groups bicker, swearing, cussing, everything else back and forth. It's the people that make it as well. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of bad apples everywhere. I mean, we've even had these UV5ers coming over here to the amateur side without licenses, but they use their UV5Rs over on the GMRS side. I've heard a ton of people on the Troy repeater just before Memorial Day weekend. I'm hearing all these new call signs and everything else, and they don't even know what to make of it because they hear the stuff that goes on the channels that are causing problems. So my opinion also takes is the people that are using these frequencies, not just their attitudes or anything like that. People hide behind the mic, and they just think they can rattle their mouths. Problem is, everything's public record, so that's my two cents. I gotta go rinse off my face. I got shaving cream all over it.
shave every day and you'll always be clean. Oh, man. Anywho, yeah, I love me technology. And yeah, it's funny, I got All-Star 2 running on the 2.6. And so I'm troubleshooting it, and I had the Motorola software up, and I was watching it during the net, and when it dropped, there was no reason for it at all. There was no errors, no nothing happened. It just dropped. So what I got to do is I got to get in and run like SimpleTune, where you can actually watch the push to talk and the COR and all that stuff real time and see if that drops. And you know, who knows? Maybe I'll replace the All-Star 2 with All-Star 3, and maybe that'll fix it all. And I got to get on that. The sooner I do that, I got to get all three repeaters up and running on All-Star 3. And the good thing is that it's easy to do. There's no real difficulty getting them up and running on that. They're not highly configured. I basically just set them up with their node number and tell them to automatically connect up to the hub and wash my hands of it.
You know, speaking of node numbers, you gave me that new node number, and it is a private node, and it won't allow me to use it on a repeater phone. Does that make any sense?
Well, you gotta save it as a favorite, and then when you add a favorite, you have to specify the path. The path is k8fbi.servdeer.com, and then you specify port 1020, and it all should work.
Go ahead, Anthony. I'll take it after you.
You said port number 1020. There's a host. Looks like an IP address. But I have it saved as my favorites. And I don't know. I never had to do anything like that with my with any of the other ones that I've saved, so I guess I just wasn't aware of it.
Let me handle this before we move on. Well, when you save favorites, normally you bring something up and then you say, save this. Well, this doesn't exist anywhere. It's a private node, so you can't find it anywhere. So you got to do add a favorite. And then in the host line, that's where you're going to enter k8fbi.servbeer.com in the host line. And then in the node number line, you're going to do 1020. And there's probably a place for your call as well. Let me look at how it's entered on mine.
Okay, I think I just have to put the website in the host, and then I should get it to work. I changed the port to 1020, and I'll change that. I'm getting to the office here in just a minute. I'll change the host line, and hopefully I'll be able to get it to work.
Yeah, node number 1020, then give it whatever name you want. I just called it FBI radio list. Authentication is account. And, and 8fbi.servbeer.com. So there's really, that's the only thing you need. I can send you a screenshot of my entry for it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think I know what I got to do, but if you can send me a screenshot, I'll know it's right the first time.
All right, I'm just closing in on my morning coffee. When I get into the shop, I'll zip you off a screenshot or two. But, okay. Sorry about that, Donald. Go ahead.
Never an apology necessary. I'm just listening and learning and picking up on little things for myself for down the road. So very informative. No apology necessary. Yeah, even with me, when you switched the dashboards around. I had my call sign on there, my frequency on there, and a couple other things, and I just said, okay, how do I change this? Okay, I can't change it in there, and I ended up going back to my All-Star node and taking out that information, so when it reset back into the dashboard, the new dashboard, it just shows my name and my call sign now, instead of all the other pertinent information. And I noticed a few other people, like Brian, had it, and I go, okay, how come he has it and I don't? And I just played with it and made sure I read everything through before I hit that button. And then I have to call Sean. Sean, I hit the wrong button again. So, yeah, it's trying, but I do try, and I do sit back and learn, listen to all I can and learn all I can. So you two guys can carry on all you want. I mean, no apology ever necessary. Anthony, still there?
Yep, I got to get out of the car here. Just pulled into the driveway and running a few minutes late. So I will catch up with you gentlemen either this afternoon or tomorrow. K-E-8-R-U-H, and I'll be listening out.
Okay, sir, you do that. Have a wonderful day. I hear there's rain Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Not much. One storm, maybe. That's about it. They finished up on my door wall outside, the outside of my door wall and bedroom windows, sealing it all up. Now comes the test with the storms we're going to have. And then if everything stays dry for a couple months, they'll repair my interior door wall. Bedroom wall is fine. But the interior door wall inside the frame has to be refinished, and the area up over the door wall has to be refinished. So, yeah, fingers crossed on that. It's been a long battle. Have a good one. W-A-R-C-Y, we're listening. Sean, you back with your coffee?
Echo 8, Whiskey November Victor, with a comment.
Whiskey November Victor, go ahead. I'm just pulling up to the with the window to get my coffee.
Good morning to everyone here. I heard you guys talking about the All-Star nodes and remote management. I started using Telscale to remote manage my All-Star nodes. Whatever device my Telscale network is connected to, no matter where I am in the world, I am on the same network as my All-Star node, and I can remote into it to do any type of troubleshooting. It's a really great thing for helping with that on that type of stuff. But I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. K E A W N Z.
You were a little scratchy in there, so next time around, can you come back with your call sign again? I didn't quite catch it. Yeah, I that's the new one on me. Sean might have heard of it, and I'll hand it over to Sean because he can answer it better than I can. Good morning to you. This is W-A-R-C-Y.
Yeah, so we, I think we're transitioning to Telscale. But right now on the 44.net, the amateur, you know, 44.net, we're running zero tier. And so I run zero tier, and that allows me to get in, and I can keep everything on the 44.net. So, but I think we are transitioning to Telscale for reasons. But, yeah, any one of those gives you a nice, nice secure way to get in to manage stuff.
Yeah, sitting in the office, heard you guys talking about it. Don't get out from the office. I had to run downstairs for a break real quick, but heard you guys talking about the All-Star stuff and remote management, and wasn't sure if you guys had something in place for that, so figured I would throw it out there. I do run ASL3, and even the newer version of it is a bit different to download. But yes, Telscale is great, and the price is excellent, starting at $0. But yes, great software there. That's all I had. I'm going to get back to that work here. Evo Echo 8, with November Victor.
KCAKJO. Donald, I think it was Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey November Victor. Did you get that?
That's what it sounded like to me.
All right, thank you. Come again anytime. I put it on hold in my brain. It wasn't Cujo. Who the heck just signed it?
KCAKJL, good morning.
Oh, it was you. I thought it was, and then all of a sudden I wanted to make sure that Donald got the call, because he was looking to get the call for his list, and then, in fact, it was you. Just blew right out of my brain.
Must have been all that sun you got yesterday. Good morning, fellers. I'm going to go pick up the daughter at her boyfriend, take her to work, and then off to an early day.
Well, there you go.
Sean, did you copy it?
Turning into
the
back ways of the shop
Whiskey
here.
November, Victor, or Vicky, Whiskey November Fox Night, WNF or WNF?
Oh, you both doubled there, just as you were talking, Sean. Donald jumped in there with the call center of that staticky station. Go ahead, Sean, and throw it back over to Donald, KJKJO.
Oh, I was just saying I'm making the turn on the road that runs me into my shop backside. So it's going to be destinated shortly, and then I threw it over to Donald.
Hey, Sean, I got it as Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey November Victor. Is that what it was? WNV?
Correct.
Copy it. The gentleman out of Ferndale. So I'll have it on the list shortly. Tom, over to you, sir. Let Tom, and then after that, we'll let Sean wrap it up. Land the plane, Sean.
Yeah, I got more sun yesterday. Cut down more trees, and then my neighbor got my brakes done on the Explorer. So it was a happy day. Plus, enjoying yesterday morning was enjoyable, too. Go ahead, Sean, and you can wrap it up.
Before you wrap it up, I got a quick question for you, Tom. There's a flea market out there. I haven't been out there in 100 years, and I was wondering, is it just a knick-knack thing, or was it a ham-based one, or like a ham fest or something, swap shop, or was it just a plethora of everything?
Oh, no, it's a flea market. You can, tools, plants, vegetables, electronics, ammo, collector knives or knives. And, you know, it's a, you know, basically a big old yard sale in one place.
Well, it's been a very, 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 very long time since I was either out to the fair or to the flea market, but I do remember them. But it's just been a while that, you know, the brain is not as functioning as well as it used to be, and I just don't remember everything. I was just wondering what it was like now, how it's been updated over the years. So, all right, I too am going to wrap up. I got to get ready for a couple of things today besides physical therapy. So let me get my day started. Sean, have a good day. Anthony's already inside. Tom, you all the best. If you're on the road, be safe, be careful, enjoy the weather. W8RCY.
All right, guys, enjoy the day. Of course, I'll be out here. I pick up my daughter and then drop her off at work, and then the day starts. But, yeah, Donald, they got great bagels, super fresh bagels there every Sunday morning. 7th Media Bottle for KCAKGO.
All right, wait. I like looking at bagels, but I can't eat bagels like I used to. If I eat one or two a month, that's a miracle. But thanks for the tip. Enjoy. W8RCY.
A-T-A-W-O-K. A-T-A-W-O-K. That's me on the FBI network. Modern Ricky, KJ.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, just starting the day. Just picked up my daughter from her boyfriend and taking her to work, so she is my shotgun for the next 20 minutes.
Ah, you got a co-pilot there. Well, good morning, daughter. keep an eye on that guy.
Right, just says good morning, Rick.
So, what part of the state you got to work in today?
Auburn Hills and Highland Park. Today is local. Tomorrow is on the west side somewhere. Figure that out. Tomorrow, I guess.
Well, cool. You get to stay close to home where you don't have to drive so far.
Yeah, today hopefully it'll be a halfway decent day, but we will see. Things always change for me at the drop of a hat.
Oh, I can imagine. And just out of curiosity, did your neighbor get your car all fixed?
Yeah, she's got new brakes, new rotors, definitely needed rotors, and but not the outer tie rod, it's the inner tie rod, so that's a little bit beyond his scope, so I got to just find a place that does it for a decent price.
Oh, bummer. Well, at least you have a almost new car when you get done.
Yeah, it's just an inner tie rod end. I mean, she's got a little bit of drift, but it's nothing major, you know. Not like the tire's going one way and the car's going another, so I've got to return the outer end and go replace the inner one. So I'll just swap it out, and then I have to find a shop that's relatively cheap, I guess you could say.
You're not going to give it a paint job, are you? I think that black and white, you could have some fun making everybody on the road nervous.
Oh, I mean, she's fine. I mean, it's been that way for a while. I've been driving it, so I noticed that the brakes were kind of goofy, so she will be okay.
So, did you do anything fun over the weekend?
Oh, Saturday I helped my neighbor put in the stairs for his porch that he just redid. You know, so we got that done. And then, what else did I do? Oh, just hung out at the neighbor's. Sunday, met up with Sean, Jack, and Wally. And, Marion, Wally's wife, and then my wife and my daughter, and we all went to the Armada Flea Market, got some bagels, and locked it all up, and I bought a couple more wireless cameras, and then we went to breakfast. Oh, that's right, then we dropped our daughter off at her boyfriend's parents' house, and they went there and they went fishing, and she caught 5 bluegill.
Oh, excellent. Bluegill are possibly the best feeding that there is. I mean, she probably threw them back, though, but, yeah, you know, I spent my life chasing around big fish and trying to get a big bite, and now I'm older and I'm more interested in how they taste. Bluegill is one of the best.
Yeah, I don't think I've had bluegill, or at least I can't remember if I have. I had perch, I guess I'm not a big fan of perch. But, yeah, it's her boyfriend's parents' pond, so they just do catch and release kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of fun. when I lived in Lafayette there, I went to the state game area there, and ended up catching a rainbow, a nice bluegill, and a little rock bass. Decided to take them home and throw them into broiler there. so I put them in some tin foil and, you know, flayed them up real good and put them in some tin foil and squeezed lemon all over, a little bit of salt, and put them in the broiler. Man, were they good, but I really didn't. It was the first time I'd had bluegill. Man, that bluegill was the best of the bunch. I keep considering keeping them, but I'm just too doggone lazy to clean them and fillet them and cook them anymore.
Yeah, I've had rainbow trout. That's really good. I haven't had bluegill. Bass. I've had bass. Sea bass. That's really good. I've had marlin. I've had swordfish. Salmon. Salmon's one of my favorites. Tuna, of course, just in a sandwich. But we got like flounder and, oh gosh, can't think of what else I got in the freezer. KCKQ.
E-A-W-O-J. Yeah, I don't get many around here, but when I used to travel up north and do a lot of fishing there, I used to get some brown trout. And boy, those are pretty tasty.
Yeah, I like the more meatier fish, you know, like salmon. Salmon's really good. Some, if you don't cook it right, though, it gets kind of dry and then, eh, no good. But I love catfish.
A little off topic there, but while I'm thinking about it, how many miles do you put on your work van a year? Just a ballpark guess. I'm guessing you probably run out or wear out a vehicle in a year.
Well, it all depends. Like this one here, this is a 2025. I picked it up in October last year. You know, I had my other van for a short period of time. That one had 62,000 on it when I traded in for the big van, and the big van I got 41,000. So, say 60. You know, so I probably driven about 100,000 miles already. I probably put about 75,000 miles on a vehicle every year. So I'll get a new one probably late next year.
That's a lot of driving. Good thing you're getting paid for it.
Oh, absolutely. I said, but once they hire another tech on the west side, you know, right now it's in limbo, then my workload might lighten up a little bit, unless it's specialty work. And that's basically what I do, is specialty work when I'm on the west side.
Don't you run up to the UP every once in a while? I'm actually going RF to the word and repeater there, but I got a habit of being on the node and punching the PTT and waiting for a second and a half for it to start transmitting.
No, the far north is we've gone to Sheboygan and Petoskey. The UP, well, it used to be handled by Wisconsin, but there's a couple accounts up there that we have a new, you know, we're getting back an old customer, and Wisconsin doesn't want to do it, so my coworker and I are probably going to do it over a two-day stint in Marquette.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I remember you guys having to go or having to do something in either Marquette or Munising. Either one of them is fine with me. They're both pretty nice places.
Yeah, it's a courthouse up there. Probably pretty small. You know, it's a small area up there. But my coworker has property in Munising, so that's not too far from Marquette. Now, on the flip side of the coin, my daughter and her boyfriend at the end of this month are going up to Copper Harbor, and they're going to enjoy the day up there.
Oh, that's real nice. The, what's it called, the Brockway Drive, I think. Going up to Keweenaw there, and you go up on this big old hill, and then you can get off the road, and there's a little park right there, and man, you can see all over the place. It's gorgeous. Now, don't, you guys get up there, don't forget to stack up on the pasties on the way home.
Yeah, she's taking a cooler up there for them, and she's going to grab a bunch, but they're going up there for a 3-day weekend. And they're going to go look for Petoskey stones and those Uber lights.
Oh, man, good luck with that. Those things are cool. I wouldn't mind doing that myself, but I can't barely walk. but anytime you're around Lake Superior, that's a good thing.
She says depending on how many she finds of the Uber lights, she'll put one aside for you.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Thank you much. I appreciate it. Those things are very cool. I from what I, you know, saw in videos there, they seem to be hard to find. I hope you find a ton of them.
Yeah, that is our one goal going up there is to find Uber lights. Petoskey stones, you know, we got a couple. I know those are hard to find as well. But go find a nice size Uber light. You got to get in there in the middle of the night to do it. So that's your plan. Because they are rare and they do become valuable. She wants to get there and see what she can find. Hopefully she'll have good luck.
Yeah, these places with quick, easy access might be pretty well picked over there, but if you can get out to a little bit farther away spots, a little more remote spots, you probably have better luck. Yeah, I wish I was still young and healthy.
Well, I'm not getting any younger already. I'm never going to try to get up when I'm sitting down on the ground or kneeling. My knees aren't doing all too well on that aspect.
She's a bleeding again. quite often I look down on my clothes there and I see a little fresh blood spot and that tells me I've got something wrong somewhere. This is getting old stuff.
Yeah, my neighbor was doing my breaks. He's a couple years younger than me, and he's, you know, like 6'3", 6'4". He goes to get up, and I can hear his knees crunch. He's like, oh, my daughter, she's 29, and, you know, we kind of skimped on kneecaps for her when she was being built, I guess you could say. Gave her all the other advantages with the kneecap we just got on. We just got the cheap model kneecap for her, she tells us.
Oh, bummer. 29, that's pretty early you start having that kind of trouble there. And good luck with that. That's all you need is that haunting you for the rest of your days. KAKWOJ.
KCKJO. Yeah, she has soft, small kneecaps, and she's already had surgery on the right one. She dislocated it when she jumped off a thoroughbred. So, yeah, she's got the issues. Yells at us all the time, or does it all the time when her knees hurt. So, yeah, she's eating the boobs in the butt, but she skimped out on the knees. You know, thanks for the discount knees.
Oh, jumping off a thoroughbred. So she likes horses, eh? I used to have a neighbor that had a horse farm there. I used to enjoy going over there and working for him. And sometimes going off to shows, she had some Arabians that were really awesome.
Yeah, she's had a horse of her own since, since junior high. Or no, not junior high, but her freshman year in high school. So she had the first horse. She only had him for a couple years before he moved over the bridge. And the one that she has now, she's had since he was 4, and he's 17 now, 18, she corrected me.
Well, doggone, so you got a regular ranch at your place, eh?
She could only dream. No, I only got a quarter acre, so you need a minimum of 2.5 for a horse. Or any farm animals. So she's got a friend of hers, and the goats are a mile away from the horse. the road from each other. She just pops up on one road and goes down the other, and boom, she's there at the boat.
Oh, excellent. A neighbor we had did the same. They boarded horses for folks that didn't have enough room to keep them there. They would wander out every once in a while and saddle them up. And we lived on a back road, a gravel road, in between Lakeville and Leonard there. There's plenty of room to ride for miles if you wanted to.
Yeah, she doesn't ride them as much, you know, because she's busy, busy, busy kind of thing. So she's thinking of called leasing them out or shareboarding, where she shares them with somebody else, or shares the expense with somebody else and allows them to ride her horse. She 100% owns them, but she can lease them out, you know, for a month or whatever else, and let somebody else ride them. That way he stays limber and exercised and doesn't become a pain in the derriere from not being worked.
Yeah, I'd worry a little bit about that. You know how people are when they lease cars. they treat them like that in demolition derby.
Yeah, the owner of the barn is really good with horses and stuff like that. And my daughter has very specific rules in regards to leasing them out. I mean, you can't put a green rider on a broke horse. Well, you can, but Ozzy's different. Ozzy's a different type, I guess you could say. He tends to be a butthole once in a while.
Yeah, I think they all could be once in every so often. Well, I used to get to ride once in a while with the girl at the neighbor there with the heavy Arabians. So she'd be on this big old Arabian stud. I'd be on supposedly this pretty gentle quarter horse, but all of a sudden she kind of, like, I don't know what she did, but she'd do something and that quarter, or that Arabian would take right off, you know, kind of thing. Next thing you know, I know the quarter horse is just beating to catch up with her, and I'm just hanging on like I wasn't a cowboy. I didn't do much right. I was just hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, quarter horse is never going to catch that Arabian, she says, and he is, he's an appendix, so he's part quarter horse and part thoroughbred. You could look at him and think he's a thoroughbred, but he's not. He's an appendix. So, he's big and wide, and as Roy says, he's got nice blood.
Well, cool. It sounds like the horse has got himself a good home and a good owner. That's always a good thing.
Oh, yeah, he's treated very well.
Well, John, it's good yanking with you, but I am going to have to get on out of here. I got a piece in the toaster oven. It's just about ready to go off, so... I'm going to have to catch you later. Good luck on the road today and in your work, and be careful, and we'll catch you later. KEHWOJ.
No, sister, perfect timing, too, because I just dropped her off at work, and I got to get hold of my coworker through the weekend. Have a good one. 73 for now. KEHWOJ.
You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-H-W-O-J, K-E-H-W-O-J, K-E-H-W-N-Z. K-E-H-W-O-J, K-E-H-W-O-J, this is K-E-H-W-N-Z.
Hey, Brad, good morning. How you doing there, young man?
Not too bad here, Rick. Not too bad. Been a while since I heard from you, and been mixing you on the Saturday Night Trivia Net, and curious how you've been. Sounds like you're doing pretty good there. Mike, over to you.
Yeah, I'm kind of lucky this morning. I'm feeling kind of spry. But by the time 7:30 when the trivia comes around, I'm usually sound asleep anymore.
You know, it happens that way. Like I said, I hadn't heard you out there for a while and heard you on there a minute ago and figured while I was on a quick break, I would see if you were still around here. So good hearing from you there, Rick. Back over to you.
Yeah, good hearing you too, Brad. So you're at work on the handheld. What handheld do you got this morning?
Yeah, I am on the ST70B. Figured I would give P4FM a try, and it works pretty good. Landed on KFBI this morning. Back over to you.
Well, I've got one of them myself, but I don't use it much. The battery life is just terrible. Had one little conversation in the little round table, and it was with full charge, and next thing I know, it's beeping or dropping out because the battery run out.
Yeah, that is the one downfall of this radio, is the extraordinarily poor battery life. But other than that, absolutely excellent radio. To mitigate the battery problem, I just bought a couple cradle chargers, keep one in the office, one at home, and I even got a 12-volt cigarette lighter plug charger for when I'm in between places. So yes, the battery life is quite terrible on this thing. But excellent little radio otherwise. Back over to you.
This is WNSC Mobile.
WNST Mobile, I think I got you in there. And, Brad, yeah, you're right. It's an excellent radio. The only downfall is the battery. I did find some larger batteries you can get for it, but you got to order them as they, of course, come from China and take many months to get here. So I never have ordered any. Go ahead, Mobile, and then pass it over to Brad, if you would, please.
Whiskey 8, November, Sierra Charlie, Mobile. I'm back in the Mobile in a while. Haven't had one. I've got a new vehicle. I had to get it installed. So I'll jump in there, see what you guys are chatting about, and I'll give an opinion. Come in and see. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, good morning there. Sounding good in the Mobile. A couple little pops with you, but other than that, sounding good there. I was just heard Rick in there at WOJ and wanted to say good morning to him. Quite a while since I heard from him, and glad to hear he's doing okay, but I am at work and break, so I've got to get back to it. It was fine hearing from you gentlemen this morning, and I will pass it over to Rick here, 73 gentlemen, KEHWZ.
Okay, Brad, good to catch up with you, we'll have to do it sometime when you got a little more time. You know, I got nothing but time. Have a good one and a safe one. We'll catch you later, KEHWOJ. Mobile, go ahead.
I have a good one there. Keep from the call, but 7-3, and have a good day at work. Headed to a vendor from St. Clair to Troy today in the next couple of days. Going to finish up our programming on a new computer-aided dispatch system for the department that I work for.
Oh, cool. That sounds like fun. Brad said you were doing fine in there. You're great in here, except the audio is really low.
I'm going to have to check the settings in the radio. It's a APX 7500 Motorola. I think I got a microphone setting. It's in the wonky. I know it's got audio, but it's really low.
Yeah, there's always seems to be there's always something to fine-tune or tweak a little bit. I guess that's what makes it fun.
it's probably trying to get her tuned too, so I gotta find somebody that can put it on a monitor and give it the once over. Like I said, I got an ER in January, just hadn't had time to get everything the way I wanted it in here, and trying to find a place to put things. New vehicles, they get smaller and smaller, and no places to put things.
Yeah, sounds like my place, same thing. I'm out of room from everything. My hand loading bench is just buried over there. I can't. I'm gonna have a whole lot of work uncovering that, everything to do with it. Anyway, I got to get on out of here. I got a little beeper went off telling me that I got to go take care of something. So it's good catching up with you. You're welcome anytime. Just hop on in when you're on the road, I guess. Have yourself a great and safe day. Catch you later. KEHWOJ.
73KEHWOJ, WNS.
W8DD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8, FGS monitoring from the mobile. Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet. Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet.
Connected to CMN Network.
Sorry, fellas, wrong VFO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8EBT, KF8EBQ.
KF8DVT, KF8DVQ. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I'm trying to get this start node to work.
Roger, roger. Good luck with that. KF8EDQ, I'll be clear and listening.
KF8EDQ 73, thank you.
Currently connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Oi, oi, oi. Run into a little traffic, did you?
Just a hot car, but nothing shocking.
Black cars and hot sun will do that. 88WOJ.
Start the big drive home. I'm at Cass and Grossbeck in beautiful Mount Clemens. Or is this Clinton Township? I think it's still Mount Clemens. I should know. I've only worked here 35, 36 years.
That's Mount Clemens.
Heck, they're all the same, ain't they?
I don't know, man. Mount Clemens is carved out of the center of Clinton Township, so I don't know where the lines go. I know my shop is in Mount Clemens, but I think if you get to the end of our parking lot, it turns into Clinton Township. And if you go just north of our jail, it's Clinton Township too, so we're like right on one of the crooks and crannies.
Crooks and crannies are always interesting. Things gather there.
Well, it's like Centerline. You know, Centerline, you know, right smack dab in the middle, surrounded by Warren. You know, and it's teeny-weeny, but they got their own fire and police and all that other fancy stuff. Hello, all. Casey, kid you.
Yeah, but most of those little communities like that were the big dogs. Centerline was the big dog when Warren was just farmland. Utica was the big dog when Sterling and Shelby was just rural farmland and whatnot. Mount Clemens was the big dog when Clinton Township was just, you know, rural. But they all get eaten up by the township, and then they have struggles. It's the way of the world.
Hello, Tom. And, yeah, I used to live when I was young. I used to live in Centerline on 11, just east of Van Dyke. But I think the house we lived in got gobbled up by 696.
back when 696 was just a ditch for 30-some-odd years. That just got completed, what, 1988, I think.
And I can't remember when it was. It was when I was a kid, just started driving. I think they had started working on it in the late 70s. Not sure when they finished it, but I should probably know this because it was all happening in my backyard while I was growing up, right about coming of age, driving and all that stuff.
Yeah, I used to live in Roseville there, and I remember when they put I-94 in there. That was a long time ago.
Well, I moved back here in 89, I think, and there was a big, huge news thing about 696 is finally completed. And then one of the news crews took a cruise all the way down it. So the final segment of 696 was in 89. And then 69 out the port here on was finished up in, I think, like 94. Good, huh?
Well, maybe it was later than that. I seem to remember playing it when we were kids, playing in the ditch. We wouldn't have been doing that. Once I was 16, 17, I never looked back. I was in the car, upwardly mobile, no more playing in the neighborhood. Oh, poor Bambi got whacked on 16 mile. But, so that's why I think of it as being earlier than that, but I don't know. Anywho, what else was I going to say? Something, and I can't remember now.
Uh-oh, you're beginning to sound like me now. And Tom, I remember when 69 used to dead end in Lapeer there. Sure lessened the traffic when they stuck it through. I remember the county was always complaining because they were stuck with maintaining the freeway and the salt and plowing in the winter kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember going to a car show out in Brighton, and I remember going 696 to 75 to the Davidson to the Lodge and then back up to 696. Off of Northwestern kind of thing. And then, like I said, I moved back here from California, and often the whole thing was open as a big spiel. 69, I didn't realize it took that long to finish. But, hey, I'm still a youngin'. And, Sean, how do you like those bagels?
They're pretty good. They're a little brighter than the ones I normally get, which is nice. So I would like more salt on the salt one though, but it's good. I'm easy with bagels. Like them almost any way they come.
Oh yeah, I'm a sucker for the salt bagels.
I just got a belly full of Hebrew National Jumbo hot dogs. Those are pretty good.
I got to send you something, Rick. When you mentioned, when I forgot something, you said, yeah, just like that. I got to send you a little thing I found. Although I think it's a Facebook reel. Do you have Facebook?
No, sir. I just recently got Discord. I'm not sure how to use that either.
I won't send you a link to Facebook then. I'll see if I can find it elsewhere. But, yeah, Discord's easy. I mean, you just, each channel's got a title, which is kinda, sorta. You know, you're supposed to keep the discussion within a given channel somewhat related to the title, but We rarely do that. We talk about everything everywhere.
I like Discord, and I'm rarely on Facebook because there's just too much BS on there. And every time you sneeze, next time you get an advertisement and something saying, hey, check your allergies, try this medication, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can find you guys on Discord there. I was expecting sort of like a home page, you know, where it started giving like listing of channels and all that stuff, but apparently you got to just search for everything.
Discord's kind of like just like chat rooms or something, I guess you could call it, you know, and there's like a title to the room. It'll say like, you know, what you eating? Like I got one called what you eating or what you watching. And we, you know, you talk about whatever you're watching in the what you're watching one. But if you go to a restaurant or you went to someplace cool or something like that, you know, or you want to maybe get together for chow, you maybe post it in what you're eating. And, you know, so it's pretty lax. And when in doubt, you just go to the general. Just dump it in the general. And everybody, you know, you can choose to watch the other ones, but general everybody's subscribed to. But that's pretty good. It's just people you know all talk about things that are of interest. There's no advertising or, well, there's a little bit, I think, of their own trying to get you to upgrade or something. But I see that so infrequently is I don't even hardly notice it. Isn't that right, Tom? There's almost nothing on Discord that's not specifically asked for.
Yeah, there's hardly any. I haven't seen advertising in there for ever. I could every so often, hey, get to our, you know, upgrade your membership to pay membership. Why? And I'm like, why? But yeah, it's all just chat rooms, Rick. And and you find the one channel, you know, FBI or McComb RPSD or whatever else. And then there's sub-chat rooms in there, like Sean was saying. One for what you eating or what you watching. Quota large, general membership, IT chat. You know, it's a good place, you know, if you got questions, you know, in regards to certain subjects. And no politics. And I love it.
Oh, cool. It sounds good. That's what got me on there was I saw a link from Gordon's reloading tool on Discord there, and I thought, okay, I got to go check this out. I'm having a little trying to learn this internal ballistic stuff, looks like it's going to take a while. So I thought, well, I get some help on Discord there. So I got on there, and, of course, the link went right to this Gordon's reloading stuff, And after that, I was like, holy cow, where do I go now, you know? So I have to start searching around and see what I can find.
Yeah, I'll try to find you. If you can look in your profile and find your username, as, you know, there's your display name, and then there's your actual account name. If whatever you signed up with, you know, I think that's your account name, I can find you with that, and then I can send you an invite to the, you know, to the groups that we're all in, and we're talking about all sorts of stuff. And what's really cool is if people want to go get you know, off on some like tangent, like, you know, like let's say, you know, you, me, and Dakota and Anthony want to get really, really, you know, going on guns and stuff, and other people are not interested in that, we can start a sub thread. And we just call it, you know, pew pew, and we could keep it all there, and people can choose to come look in on that or not as they want.
Yeah, you gotta call us up, channel pew pew. That'd be cool. Pew pew. Anything and everything about, you know, ballistic projection devices.
Yeah, have to look up and see what the heck I signed in with there. But yeah, pew pew. I think there's a channel on YouTube, but the same thing, pew pew. Used to have Hot Lincoln Babe there running it, but I think she got tired of it apparently and disappeared. But hey, that's another gun channel. That's where that came from. Made me giggle. So yeah, it sounds like I've been missing out for a long time. Glad I'm finally catching up.
Yeah, I don't know, but a lot of stuff that people don't like feel comfortable just bringing up on the air. Yeah, just because they know they're going to go down a rabbit hole and they don't feel like, you know, so they'll get going down a tangent, you know, pretty fast in one of those threads. We get a little corny, you know. There's the ARPSC one over here that is a little bit more formal. We have some fun there, but over in the Flying Deers one, we get a little loose, but we still keep it, you know, respectful, and nobody's, you know, keep the politics out of it and all that stuff. You know, it's just everybody's got different opinions. You know, it's you're not wrong, I'm not right. You know, it's everybody wants things to be better. That's the thing we got to remember. Everybody wants things to be better. And if you don't think that's true, then I don't know. You may be wrong, you know, but it's best not to beat each other over the head. Let's enjoy the things we agree on.
Exactly, like sunny days and pancake breakfast.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, that sounds pretty good. And you know, Sean, I think I was wrong once, but it turned out I was incorrect. But no politics and no religion sounds pretty good to me. It'd be easy to get along then. KE8WOJ Friday.
KE3TCS Mobile. TCS, what were those initials famous for? Anyhow, go ahead, sir.
Thanks, but call sign here in Windsor. So, Rich, I've been trying to get to you for a week. A whole week.
Oh, I'm sorry, I keyed up with you at the same time. Who haven't you heard for a week?
I'm trying to stay up to Rick for about a week now.
Go ahead, Rick. Pick it up.
Tim, you old dog, I was wondering if you're still kicking or not. I hadn't heard you in quite a long time, and you're just barely making it in there. Boy. it is good to hear that voice again.
Yeah, I've been hearing you here and there, chasing you around, but I hadn't caught you. So, anyhow, just wanted to say hi, guys. Thanks a lot. This is my final. 7-3. Take care. Enjoy. DE3 TCS.
Take care, young man. Good to hear you. And you were coming in pretty good that time. Let's see. Where's it? I'm not sure where it goes. Tom, I think.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Pew pews. Yeah. Oh, Discord. That's it, Rick. Yeah. So when Sean gets you, you know, finds you and then sends you the link, and then it's great. Like, this is the place where we chat. I mean, you got one, you know, whiskey and cigars, and I said, what you eating? And what are the other ones there? Oh, the West Side Family Breakfast, North and Central Family Breakfast, stuff like that. So yeah, it's well worth getting in there and checking it out. Checking out the chat. KCKGO, over to Sean.
Yeah, in the past we would make all our plans on the radio. Now we make all our plans on the Discord or whatever, and, you know, and then we show up on the radio just last minute. So if you're going to catch it on the radio, you're hearing it generally last minute because the plans were made a week ago on Discord. There's another one called Slack that the Central Michigan guys like that one, but it's very expensive. And now if you're a 501c3, you get it for free. So that's how they manage to get in for their membership. And Lacombe RPSC could do that, but I don't see any advantage over Discord. Discord is
got a really, really nice interface. Slack's great too. I like Slack, but Discord's my favorite of them all. We had Telegram for a while. Wasn't bad either, but Discord seems to be the one that's kind of like becoming the mainstay. Until they screw it up somehow.
Oh, I played with Telegram for a while. I was chatting with a YouTube lady. She had a channel on YouTube, and she sent me a little secret, whatever you call it, message on her channel there and said, contact me on Telegram. So I said, all right. And it was kind of a lot of fun. But yeah, anyway, I heard you guys talking about Discord, so I thought, and that Gordon's reloading tool was on there, and I thought, man, I got to get over there and check it out. So I got more learning to do besides the internal ballistics. I don't know. There's more and more cobwebs every day between my ears, so it's getting harder to learn. Tom, go ahead.
Oh, Rick, you're getting there where your thoughts are now just afterthoughts.
There you go. Well, yeah, Telegram was supposed to be the really secure one, from what I was told. I don't know enough about it to state that with any certainty. I knew a very security-conscious IT professional out of Australia. He wouldn't do anything but Telegram. And there was some reason, so I don't pretend to know. But what are they going to get from me? I don't know. My name? I don't worry too much about that stuff. I'm uninteresting. That's my protection against cyber attacks. Is I'm uninteresting.
Well, hot dog, we got that in common too. I get apparently some young ladies used to float around in there and just pick names at a random and start hopping in and chat me up kind of thing and then asking for money. I used to laugh my butt off. I was interested, but it was a nice platform there because if you didn't feel like typing, you could always hit the mic and record the message kind of thing and send it back and forth. It was a lot of fun for a while. KEWOJ, Tom.
That's why I'm not on Facebook all the time, because every time you turn around, you know, you're seeing more advertisements than you are, you know, in regards to your nieces and your nephews or family and friends. You know, it's always something. You know, I think I was talking to my wife about compression socks. Actually, you know, I got advertisements for compression socks on Facebook. I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. So the Discord is nice, and it's private, you know. You can't get into the chat room or onto the chat channel unless somebody invites you. Then when they invite you, then you're in a whole new world. Besides that, you can't see anything or find it unless you absolutely know what you're looking for. KDKJO.
WABBD.
It's the Big Potato Dude.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Taking a ride to the golf course, gonna go sweat my balls off and chase them too.
I take it no word back from the radio guy yet?
Negative. The last correspondence was, we'll let you know if you have to send it back or we can do it remotely.
Right, I heard that, so. All right, cool. I know there's a way to upgrade the firmware. You know, your depot tool can do it. The problem is there hasn't been a depot tool in the wild at that level. I forget, like maybe version 14. I don't know. It's quite old, so there's no way your radio is at 39. So there's no way the depot tool that's out there would work. And
And you don't want to monkey around with that either. APXs are a little bit more persnickety. You've got to be really sure what you're doing if you're going to be monkeying with depot and APXs.
Yeah, well, that's the last thing you want to do, means I just bought it. First, I'll try this means, and if that doesn't work, then I'll seek out some other means. But I was talking with John WUO on P25 with it, and he said that Tony might be able to do something, but I'm going to let this one play out.
Yeah, well, they owe you, too, and I'm sure they know it. So, not a problem there. I'm sure they'll cover you. Now, if they have the, if they can send you, like, a fob with the upgrade on it, you know, you can update the, you can flash the, and update the firmware with the APX software. It's not that big a deal. So if they could send you a stick with the upgrade on it, that might be a way to do it. That's probably what they're looking to do instead of going through the hassle of shipping.
It would be a little bit cheaper. I could just drop that into an envelope, flat rate it for next to nothing. But, yeah, we're just going to wait and see. I'll go ahead and play with it a little bit on VHF. And I got it programmed up for LTS, and I did 147.2, and they both work. So, yeah, the radio's fine, other than I think it's just in the flash code that needs to be updated.
Yeah, sorry, Tom, Rick. I just wanted to touch base on this because I'm just pulling up the home here. But, yeah, like I said, I verified you got the hardware in it. So that's the key. You got the hardware in it, then it's just a matter of flashing it. So, all right, I'm pulling up. Let you guys carry on. Tom?
Well, you guys are all good there. I learned stuff when you guys talk about different things, you know, radios and stuff. So just more education in my ears. Hello, Brian. KUTKQ.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it either. It's the same thing. I like learning, and we get out of rotation. That's not a big deal either. And you guys are talking about firmware updates. I'll tell you what, I'm as nervous as a whore in church every time I got to do a firmware update. The power here goes on and off a lot. They shut it down about a minute, 2 minutes, and then it's back on again, and it'd be my like, it'd be right in the middle of flashing a radio or something and turn it into a brick.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest fears that all of us have, but in my shack, my computer, and that is on a battery backup, so a quick flash won't kill me, but, you know, there again. But I just bought the radio, paid $2,200 for the thing, well, $2,300. And it said it was supposed to be capable of doing what it's not doing. So I had John looked at it, and he says, well, the radio says that it has the hardware installed. It's just firmware or flash code that doesn't have the right stuff in it. And I contacted them this morning, and they're like, yeah, no, we'll take care of it. We just going to look into see if we can do it remotely or if we have to have you send the radio back. So that's all they're compiling right now.
I had a brain freeze there for a second.
I'm still there.
Yeah, I got that XPR 6550 from Blue at the meeting, and then I could upload it, but I couldn't download it because I didn't have this and I didn't have that. With the help of Lance and a couple other guys, I was able to get it changed over and the firmware updated using an older laptop. But I got it done, and now it's one of my favorite little radios to carry around.
Yeah,
I'll say you're handling it pretty good there. When I buy things that say they can do something, and when I get hold of them, they're not set up to do that. It tends up to make me go beside myself. KEWJ.
Well, it's called patience, and I'm still working at it. I'm struggling with it, but my wife has been a pretty good teacher. But, I kind of know what's going on. It's just I don't want to take the chance of breaking the radio. I could go out and I could find the software, and I could probably find the firmware, and I could probably get it done. Probably being the key word there, because if one thing goes wrong, then it's a brick, and then they'll say, well, no, we're not going to support you because you were in there monkeying around with it. And I've been messing around with Motorola's since my HT1250s, and that was all DOS-based, and I still have a laptop just in case to do those radios. So I understand all this stuff. I don't know it that well, but I understand it.
Sorry, guys, I dropped off there. Oh, got a phone call now. I'll talk to you guys in a bit. KCKJ.
All right, Tom, and I'm not sure. I'd be probably just as nervous with a remote fix for it too. Suppose there's a hiccup in the internet connection while it's updating or something. You're probably going to end up with the same outcome. I think I'd probably rather have them take the radio, do the thing, and send it back. Of course, you're going to be without the radio for a while.
Hey, Bill, I'm back.
Welcome back, Tom. Well, Rick, it's like Sean said. Basically, they can send me a USB drive with the provisioning for the flash code upgrade and the flash code on it. All I got to do is plug it in, open up the CPS software, tell it to initiate, and when it's done, it should be fixed. So that could be their version of the remote fix. Otherwise, yeah, these radios are capable of going on the internet, but without me programming it up, then I don't know, if they're going to give me their personal server information and everything like that. And I don't know if I want my radio permanently linked to their servers. So, like I said, we'll see what they say. And if I got to send it back, it only took 3 days to get to my house, so a week isn't bad.
Unlike Yaesu, who's got one of Dakota's FTM-150s, getting it repaired, and he's still waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, that's because they only got one repair facility in Southern California, near the border. And it's usually 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks to get anything back from them. And, well, good luck on that. I understand now what you mean about the remote. That'd be, if they send you that, that'd be good. You got your own battery backup, so it might go pretty good. It should go pretty good, I hope, anyway. But good luck, and I hope it all turns out well.
So, Tom, what's new with you?
I got my brakes done yesterday, rotors and pads on the police car. So that's all done. Now all I got to do is eventually find somewhere that I can do an inner tie rod, because that's a little bit more beyond the scope of my neighbor. He said, yeah, you want to get this done somewhere else. But it's not terribly bad that it's, detrimental to the driving ability. But the brakes definitely needed to be done. Oh boy. And that was quite a few fills.
You know, if you got a Bell tire around there near you, you might want to check with them. It seemed to me I had some tie rod work done there, and it wasn't too bad.
Definitely someplace like a Bell tire or a smaller shop, but has a front-end alignment equipment, so they do it as part of the price, part of the package. Otherwise, it'll cost you what it's going to cost you to do it, and then you got to take it someplace, and it's almost $100 to have the front end aligned. Because once you do that, you have to get the front end aligned.
Oh, absolutely. I know that. I mean, I got my own personal mechanic. You know, they could probably do it because they do alignment. They got all high-tech equipment. It's the price thing that I got to watch for, see how much it's going to cost. I mean, the brakes alone were $4, and then I spent another $4 on the exhaust, getting that all redone. You know, she's got duals all the way back to the little mufflers, you know, that in fact got rid of the resonator. That was rust, that was rotted. So I did a little bit of work on her, but she's well worth every penny, having my toy.
Oh, exhaust. You had to bring that up, didn't you? I got a 20-year-old car, and I think it's just about due. It's had brakes. It's had a lot of others. Actually, it hasn't needed a whole lot of work, but I think an exhaust is going to be due pretty soon. Not looking forward to that. KAWJ.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking forward to the brake thing because prices are so inflated right now. It's not funny. Even doing it myself, it's going to be a little bit on the expensive side. But I can't do it myself unless I ask a friend to generate a receipt so that they say they were professionally done, because I got to keep my extended warranty good. Yada, yada, yada. Oh, well. Now the truck's yelling at me that it needs a $150 oil change.
The ticket of my daughter might be a little bit cheaper. That's how I'm going right now. I'm going to go visit my daughter at her shop, get the oil change in this piece. And yeah, about brakes and stuff, my neighbor just did his, I think he's got a 2018, 1500 Ram, and he just changed the brakes for the first time at 106,000 miles. Brakes, rotors.
Holy cow, $150 oil change. Things are getting bad. Maybe I better get my change before it goes up.
Connected to CMN Network.
Well, I had the factory warranty, so I had the oil changes done at the dealership under, well, I have the manufacturer's warranty still. I just got done with the manufacturer's warranty. Now I'm into my extended warranty. But, yeah, it's 0W40, and it takes like 7 quarts. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, they find you one way or another, especially since this war. I don't know how much oil jumped.
Cow, Tom, I barely got a word out of that. you must have pulled in a garage or something.
All right, gentlemen, I'm pulling up at the golf course. I will catch you all later. 73W8BPD. I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, I think Tom cleared out, so... you know, my name's Rick over here. I didn't get your name, so I apologize. Have a great one, and good luck on the course there. KEAWOJ, I'll be clear.
I was still on Warren. I just moved over to UMP. Yeah, I'm at my daughter's shop getting my oil change. I'll be out in a bit. KGO.
WNFU, W8NFC. WNSC, clear Myron.
Hey, Gateway.
You're connected to CMN Network.
It's Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. Are you out there, Cujo?
Yes, I am. How's it going, Darren? Congratulations on your Fox on KCAKJO.
Thank you. I determined that I must hide it next time around so that at least I don't end up winning it. Anyways, I seen a CentOS truck or whatever the heck that company is that you drive with a, I think, a 2-meter weird whip on the top of it. Does your buddy happen to be out of the building that's nearby work?
Not unless he's picking up parts. I don't know who that would be. Ours say security on the side right underneath the window. You know, it says, well, mine does, yeah. You know, it says KCI security on it. So, unless he was over there for something, that's the only thing I could think of.
No, I guess I must just have a, I didn't really necessarily notice something that said security. I just noticed the van that reminded me of the van that you had for your work vehicle. How have you been by any chance?
Honestly, the only ones that I know that have mobiles is me, W8RIT, and who works out of my office in Madison, Auburn Hills, and then my other coworker was a Maverick, but he's strictly GMRS.
The RIT, was that the one who I was talking to that one day when the police pulled me over?
Yeah, W8RIT, David. Yeah, he's out of my office.
Yeah, I invited a coworker over to the antenna building thing on this upcoming Saturday. I kind of just verbally told them the date and time, roughly, in the place, date, time, and place, and so they kind of are aware of it. They may or may not end up showing up. I don't know right now. I don't have any expectations for them to be there or not be there. Kind of just mentioned that since they were talking about radios and antennas a little bit, that they might actually like the idea of, like, building an antenna and learning a little bit on how it works.
Which site are you guys building an antenna at? I don't know of any projects coming up.
Mike is doing an antenna build at the Warren Community Center, I believe it's supposed to be. It's not necessarily like building a tower antenna, it's more like just building a J-pole kind of a thing.
Oh, okay, alright. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing this Saturday. There's supposed to be some type of ham equipment sale somewhere, and I can't remember who told me about it and where it's at.
I've heard that there's quite a few sales stuff going on recently. I've heard that if I want to get I think it's a 7300 from ICOM, that those have been on sale because there's the Mark II version out now, and some people want to get rid of the old one. I don't know if that's still the case or not anymore. Kilo Foxtrot East Echo Tango, Quebec.
Yeah, I gotta find out where it's at. All right, dude, I'm about to really fill up the house here. Gotta go let the dogs out. You know, relax for a couple minutes before I turn on and go back out and go pick up my daughter from work. You know, she won't have her plate until tomorrow for her car, so I'm picking her up at her shop. I'll say 73 on your final. KJO.
Talk to you later, John. QO Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, T-O-M, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
You got quite a bit of snap, crackle, pop in there with you. Makes it a little bit of a challenge for some of it. But all right, cool. Well, glad to hear you back on the air. We'll listen for you. I'm generally on the air from about 6:30 to 7, give or take, and then again at 3:30 to 4, give or take. So I'm usually commuting then, and then I'm normally listening, but often I can't grab the radio. I'm in the middle of something. I listen at work, but generally busy with work stuff, so can't just jump on the radio, but I'm generally always listening.
All right, we'll catch you tomorrow. 3FUWNC.
Sounded quite good on that last one. All right, catch you later.
Gobble, you had a few.
Connected to CMN Network.
PR, anyone around can jump over to EMR Statewide 2 for a test.
NAWRO, yeah, I can do that for you, Tim and Richmond.
Yeah, okay, Tim, I'm playing with the new radio here, so I want to make sure the audio is good and everything. See you over there, PR.
QSY Statewide 2, NAWRO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
I didn't catch the calls, and I was just in the process of setting the radio down. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to come back to you. I know what it's like to get your call out there and not hear anybody. I'm doing well. The name here is Daniel. You know, the Alpha November and the Echo Lima. And I'm in the 8 Mile and Kelly area. Portable.
Okay, hi Daniel. Nice to meet you. And yeah, it's not. I kind of expected nobody to be around, but I was pleasantly surprised when there was somebody. This is Rick on this end. I'm up here near just a little bit southwest of Pontiac.
Okay, Rick. Well, the thing that I always remembered back in the day is there's always somebody listening.
Yes, sir, that's true. There's usually somebody around. Although, I don't know, during the day, after drive time kind of thing, it seems like the repeaters are awful dead. I ain't sure anybody's listening out there.
Yeah, well, I was real gung-ho about buying another HD, but trying to figure out if it'll be worth it or not. I guess we'll see how it goes. Before field day and after field day, maybe the activity will increase. I didn't go to the field day. Did you go to field day?
No, sir. I sure didn't. I haven't been to one yet. Also, when is it? On it. I just heard it on the GM net tonight. There's a trunk swap in Utica. And I can't remember which weekend it was. I'm sorry about that.
KVAWTA. Yeah, I've never been to a swap and shop myself. And, well, I think I've been to one a long time ago. I'm not sure where it was. Maybe it was in Monroe, Michigan. I don't know. But I have been to one. So it wasn't the one, the big one. So I don't know.
Well, I'm right there with you, Daniel. I haven't been to one either. I considered going the one in Utica is there, but the Packard Proving Grounds there. It's, I think it's right in between 22 and 23 mile on Van Dyke.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, the Volfang GMR HT. I guess it does three bands. There's a gentleman on here that purchased it. And I think he likes it pretty well.
Yeah, I think you mean the, the DM32, I think. It says UHF, VHF, and GMR.
Yeah, I actually have a GMR, a TYT 2017, but it's time for a new GMR radio.
Well, I've heard a few people with that new GMR 32, and they sure have some good audio.
Well, they most certainly do, and when he was trying the radio out, that's the thing that I noticed. The handhelds, you got to be careful because my PGUV9G, if you don't speak right into the mic, they won't hear you. But if you find that sweet spot, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sitting out here on the porch with a handheld, and I found that usually if you move just a little bit, like you said, if you find a sweet spot and then you move just a little bit, you could completely disappear. But I'm running through a node, so it makes it a little easier.
Yeah, if I was using my stubby duck, you wouldn't be able to hear me, but I'm using this, I don't know if this is a diamond, whatever it is. It starts with an M. I can't see it. I have it. It's pretty dark where I am. Anyway, the longer antennas tend to help.
Yes, sir, you're right. Every time I get a handheld, I get rid of the little rubber ducky and get a nice diamond or the other one, SR-77. I can't remember who makes that. There's another one that works pretty well. They sell them on Amazon. They're not very expensive.
KVAWTA. I think this is a Nagoya. The antennas that come with them. Sometimes, you know, back in the day, Standard used to have pretty good antennas that came with their HTs. But then again, Standard HTs were $400 to $500, if not close to $600. I remember paying quite a bit of money for a Standard 2-meter 220. And, it's a good thing that prices have dropped since 95. But back in the day, they could get pretty expensive. And Standard was pretty good about antennas that come with the HD back then. But,
WABPD.
Wait, take it.
Good evening, gentlemen. Long time no talk to, right?
Anyway, it sounds like you've been in it quite a while. I just been in it 3 years, so I'm still kind of new at it.
Get out of the station.
Good evening, gentlemen, and Rick. WABPD Brian, standing by.
Hey, Brian, the name here is Daniel, Delta Alpha November, India Echo Lima. I'm portable. 8 Mile, Kelly area. Go ahead and take it, Rick.
Yeah, welcome, Brian. Go ahead and take it and then pass it over to Daniel, if you don't mind, please.
Long time no talk to, Rick. Just heading home from golfing. Had a pretty good evening doing that. Enjoyed the weather. It was gorgeous. Not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah, we got another great weather day. I got about a fourth left of battery power. My battery's done, so I'm gonna switch out my battery. But Brian, Rick, good talking to both of you. Hopefully we'll talk again soon. AVA WTA Portable. 73 Brian, 73 Rick, and over to you, Rick.
Okay, Daniel, I appreciate the QSO there and enjoy it there. Look forward to talking to you again. 73s, have a good one. Be careful out there. And Brian, glad you had a good golf game there. I guess it's pretty good weather for most people. It's a little bit hot for me. I stay in the shade all day.
In and out of the shade. And really didn't work up that big of a sweat. I was nice and relaxed, and I had my best round of the year in that golf league. That is for sure.
Oh, excellent. If you don't mind, where did you play at?
I golfed front nine at Plumbrook over at 16 by Shaner. Or Shaner, just north of 16.
Oh, okay. And are you on a league?
Yes, sir. I'm on a league Monday at Plumbrook and on Wednesday at Chandler Park. And of all my golf leagues, today was my best round.
Oh, cool. I have a couple of old friends there, twins. I've known them since I think fourth grade. They're into golf. One's really into golf. The other one kind of gave it up. But I played golf once back in high school. That was a long time ago. the 60s, I think. Late 60s or something like that. And those two were on the golf team at the high school there. We played at Oxford, and I had no idea what to do, so I just did what those guys did and used the same club them guys used. One of them shot a 53, I shot a 54, the other shot a 55. That was my first and last golf game.
Well, to tell you truthfully, that's where I've been since the beginning of the season, but it's been a little bit cold, and, you know, it's as much a mental game as it is physical, and mentally, I guess I wasn't just there, but today, I was talking to you gentlemen before I hit the golf course. I was relaxed when I got there, and the first 8 holes were great. The 9th hole, well, that was my worst, but I still shot a 48 for 9.
Well, excellent. And maybe you should be talking to us on Wednesday on your way to the game.
Well, somewhere between 3:30 and 4, I'll be on my way over to the Chandler Park. And if anybody's available, I'll talk to them. But, yeah, maybe it'll work. Like I said, I was relaxed. I was hitting them well today. And the weather was just glorious. It wasn't too hot, really, for considering. Like I said on the way to golfing, I was going to go sweat my balls off and chase them around the golf course. Well, I didn't chase them so much.
Yeah, I remember that. That's a good thing. You know, I think that one and only time that I got to play, I think that might have been the key, too, is I didn't really give a rip one way or another. I hadn't played before, and I thought, well, I'll just see what it's all about kind of thing. So I just watched those guys and did what they did. It was the same club, and it didn't really matter if I did good or not, but apparently I did all right. I got right in between the two of them. So maybe that makes a difference when you, you're not under, what do you want to call it, stress or anxiety to perform, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's that anxiety to perform. And, like I said, all in all, it was a good day. I really enjoyed myself. Other than the fact that I had to park almost as far away from the clubhouse as I could get.
But there again, I was relaxed, so it didn't matter.
Well, there you go. I think you found the key to the whole thing there. And, boy, that would kill me now. I have to park in the handicap closest to the grocery store door there, so just to make it inside the grocery store. And then I got to get one of them Amiga carts to run around in there and shop.
Well, the handicap right outside the door to the clubhouse was available, but, yeah, I'm old, but I'm still healthy enough. I can't use that.
Well, that's good, my friend. I wish I didn't have to use that. It really sucks.
Well, I consider myself fortunate. My doctor makes jokes when I walk in the... when he walks in the exam room every year. If it ain't the guy that has no prescriptions. I'm 60. I don't have blood pressure medicine yet. I don't have diabetes medicine yet. But I'm close on all accounts.
Well, that's great. I can't say the same. I'm 72 and I got a bunch of stuff I got to take every day. In fact, I was just thinking, I'm not sure I took it at 5 o'clock when I was supposed to. We'll find out in a little while. KE8WOJ for ID.
Yeah, that would be me. I always forget to take my medication because I don't, if and when I have it, I don't get it often enough for it to be a regular thing. So I'm always wondering if I took my last pill or not. So, yeah, I can relate to that. W-8-B-B-D.
Yeah, the morning round is pretty easy. You get out of bed, okay, take your pills. But the ones in the afternoon, I do about, I don't know, right around 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, late afternoon, I guess, early evening, before I go out to feed the cats. And half the time, I'm not thinking about them. I get out there and get the cats fed kind of thing. And then when I come back in, I can't remember if I took the doggone things or not.
Well, the last time I broke my leg and I had regular medications to take, I bought me one of those pill dispensers that had AM and PM. And it was easier to tell if I took my pills or not because in the afternoon, if the PM pills were still there, then I had to take them. But all in all, I'm just not used to that stuff, and I hope I never have to get used to that.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I'm thinking about getting one of the plain old paper calendars. Yeah. Every day marking up. Okay, I got the morning one, and then every day I'm getting, you know, if I did the afternoon one or the evening one there, just mark it off. But then you got to remember to mark it off, and otherwise you get confused, you know. It's easy to confuse this old man. KEAWOJ.
Yeah, whether you got them or not, you're not sure. I get it. All right, well, I'm about a mile from home. I'm going to stop here at the restaurant, grab myself a burger and a Coke, because I know doggone good and well the wife doesn't have anything for me to eat when I get home. So I'm going to run inside here, and I will talk at you later. W8BPD, I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, young man, you have a good dinner, and we'll catch you later, and have a good, safe week, and I'll try to catch up with you on Wednesday there. KEAWOJ, I'll be clear.
KEAWUO.
Well, hello there, young man.
Howdy, howdy. How's Rick doing today? Hanging in there?
Yes, sir. Fair to mostly cloudy.
Nice. I'm always disappointed that the repeater has to drop before you get to hear me laugh. because it comes out faster than the repeater drops. So, but what's new and exciting with you? Anything good? I see you over there in Discord. I was happy to see you. That was a surprise.
Yeah, I've been fooling around with, here comes a deer. It's a little buck. Sorry. Studying internal ballistics all day, fooling around, and Sean got on the radio there, and we got talking, and so he was telling me about Discord there, and I thought, well, I'm going to go over and give it a try. I had joined it to check on this internal ballistic stuff. They had a group there, and I was going to read up and get some FAQs on that stuff there. And then so Sean filled me in on how it worked and all that kind of stuff. So I got on there, and he sent me an invite, and boom, next thing you know, I was on the FBI.
Yeah, nice. I didn't hear your guys' conversation today, but I've heard you and others talking about, weapons and whatnot, and it brings me back. That was one of my other hobbies I used to have and sort of still do, but it kind of got put on the back burner, but I really need to revive it here one of these days. I miss those days. I used to go out shooting in Lapeer and the old gravel pits before they took it over with a state pit now. We used to bring propane tanks and refrigerators and all kinds of stuff out there, 10, 15 years ago. And oh boy, those were fun. But the internal ballistics sound very interesting. I'm not sure how that works. What is internal? Is it like the ballistics inside of ballistics gel? Is that what it is, or what is internal ballistics? Maybe in the barrel? I'm lost. Fill me in, sir.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, actually, you're pretty doggone close there. And by the way, I used to live about 5 miles from that pit over there. Pierre used to go there all the time. I remember one time somebody drug out a snowmobile out there. It didn't take very long before it was just blown to pieces. That was kind of a fun place. Yeah, and the DNR went and put a range in there, an actual range in there now. So anyway, it's a cleaner place, but you can't shoot as far as you used to. Internal ballistics. The exterior ballistics is once the bullet is the barrel and it's flying through the air, and you're trying to figure out there's a ballistic coefficient, how slippery the bullet is, kind of thing through the air, and how much elevation you need to go at a certain distance and all that. Internal ballistics is the explosion that sets it off in the chamber, in the piece of brass in the chamber, and then sends it down the tube. Optimal barrel time and all this other kind of stuff. It's supposed to help you figure accurate loads without wasting a whole lot of time and money. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. Supposedly that's what it's supposed to do.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. The more I was walking myself through it, the more it was starting to make sense. But boy, it's amazing how dialed in they have, ballistics and the flight path, and there's a calculation for everything, and it's pretty cool, because it's there's a lot of math that could potentially get involved, and then like you're saying, it seems like that would be advantageous to know, and to especially if you're loading your own ammunition, to know what is best for your particular rifle, versus kind of what the industry standard is, all of these weapons, you know. So yeah, that's fascinating, very interesting, and I bet you're a heck of a sharpshooter, aren't you?
No, not really. I just talk a good game. I do all my shooting from a bench, and I shoot pretty good from a bench. But freehand, you know, offhand, I don't shoot very good. Any shooting I do, I make sure it's supported somehow. Fence post or oh, hey, Mama, my little cat's come to visit. You know, supported somewhere outside of a tree or a tree limb or a fence post or something like that kind of thing. And, it used to be that I do my own ammo, and it used to be that I'd have to start out with the recommended minimum to maximum loads and charges there, and shoot groups in 2/10 of a grain from minimum to maximum, which is a lot of shooting and a lot of powder and a lot of bullets and a lot of primers and all that stuff, and then try to find the sweet spot where this internal ballistics program is supposed to find a sweet spot for you so you know where to start out and save your barrel and money.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, that sounds really, really advantageous to know and to be able to use and figure out, and that's pretty cool. Yeah, I miss the old days of when ammo was cheap, and you know, we would go to the Gibraltar Trade Center and get 1,000 rounds of 7.62x39 and you know, 223 and all that, and we'd go through 1,000 rounds in a day, you know, up at the range, and boy, was that fun. And now it's like, ooh, I don't know, that's a lot of ammo to go through in one day, you know. But back in those days, it was, you know, that's just what we did. But then I kind of grew up a little bit. I moved out to Colorado, and I did a lot of shooting up in the mountains, which was a lot of fun. And that was neat because you could kind of go from valley to valley, or, you know, mountain. You're basically shooting over the valley from like what do they call it, like a foothill to a foothill, you know, like they're not full mountains, but they're good hills, you know. It's like a bald mountain to another, well, not bald mountain, this is a ski resort, trying to Pine Knob to a Pine Knob, you know, it'd be like two of those near each other. But yeah, I don't know, that was a lot of fun. I made a bunch of, I welded a bunch of 4-inch by 4-inch shims together and put them up on tree branches and just would blast them off from all over the place with pistols and rifles, and I was having fun, but I haven't done that in a while.
Well, there you go. You got to get back at it. It sounds like you were out in Colorado there. You were doing some distance shooting, and that that takes some skill. You got to know the interior ballistics, and you know what the yardage is across there, and what the come-ups are, and that's all pretty neat stuff. It just tickles the heck out of me. It always has, sending a projectile from one spot to another exact spot in a certain distance away, kind of thing. It's just it's always been a lot of fun to me, anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I really enjoyed it too. It was a lot of fun. When I was out in Colorado, I didn't have a lot of people that I knew that were big into it, and so a lot of times I'd go up there and I would just kind of, you know, dump a couple mags, and you know, I would always make them count, you know, but it was more of a solo mission, and it was a lot of fun, you know. Climbing a mountain, you know, or a foothill with an AR-10, you know, and that was the biggest caliber I had. I didn't ever really have a sniper rifle. I had a SIG 7.16, still have it, that was, you know, 308 7.62x51, and that thing I think did pretty good, but I always wanted to see the vapor trail that I heard about, you know. And so I wanted to go up to, like, a 338 Lapua, but I never quite committed that hard. And I kind of wanted to get one of those Vertixes. I was thinking about getting the 300 Blackout. Probably kind of glad I didn't, but that's kind of where I'm leaning again is towards a smaller, you know, a little bit more, you know, something a little bit smaller than an AR-10, but still very, you know, able, you know. So I think a little bit more along with the lines of what you and Sean have probably. But yeah, I miss those days. I gotta brush up on those skills and get my CPL, or whatever they call it nowadays.
Well, I looked at the AR-10. I was wanting one of those myself, but that was a hefty beast. I wouldn't have wanted to carry that very far, especially up a mountain kind of thing. So kudos to you, bud. that was pretty heavy. And, you know, you don't need to get a big, like a 338 Lapua to see a vapor trail. You just need a, if you've got a rifle with just about any kind of decent recoil, you're not going to see that vapor trail, you know what I mean? You got to have something that don't have a lot of vapor trail, and then you'll be able to watch it. Or stand right behind somebody who's shooting. And when they shoot, you can watch the trail go down. You can watch it go down. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. That might maybe was part of my problem is that rifle. So I had a Trigicon. It was a 5.5 by 50 millimeter. So it was a big Trigicon. And it had the drop pattern for the 308, and you know, so it would, and that's what I, you know, I wasn't really doing any sharpshooting as much as I would have liked to, but especially with that scope because it's really only 5.5 power, which for a 308, you know, it was cool. It probably is a nice scope, but and it was probably pretty well paired for that rifle, but. I'd like to get something with a, you know, the typical Schmitt and Bender, and or I think that's what it's called. But, yeah, those, I'd like to invest in something a little bit nicer one day. But then, you know, it's just like in all my other hobbies is I never know where to draw the line because then I want the night vision and I want the thermal, and I like the thermal from Michigan. Because it cuts through the fog, and it's foggy more here, and, yeah, I don't know. But then you don't need any of that, you know? But then you don't need any of it anyway, so it's I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I miss that hobby. I miss, I need, like, another job that pays just as well as my main job, but that I don't have to go in. And it just gives me money. So if you think of anything like that, let me know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you figure that out, you let me know, too. And you're right, any, you know, just about any hobby is almost like a rabbit hole once you get started kind of thing. Nothing's cheap anymore, but... You know, the longer you put it off, the prices just keep going up and up and up kind of thing. And the longer you put it off, the more expensive things get, you know. Having some long-range sniper rifle with a decent scope to go with it is kind of a chunk of change. But if you're careful and look into it, you can get some budget rifles that are very accurate and do the same thing without spending thousands of dollars on it.
Yeah, that's what I should do when I finally pull myself back into to that side of things. I don't know. That'd be fun. I gotta start going to the range again, and you know, it'd be nice to find another spot like the Lapeer Pit because I kind of liked, you know, there used to be what people would call like overflow spots where you could go. you know, down the two track behind it. And if you drive down there like a half mile to a mile, there's like one or two spots. Well, there's at least two spots that you could pull over where people would also set up back there and they'd shoot. And there were some particular spots back there that I found to be really nice because the pit honestly is a little dangerous, or at least it used to be. Some of the people that would show up out there and it's just nice to be able to walk down range and fix your targets and, you know, put up new ones and just have the privacy that you might want to practice, you know, how you want. And I was, you know, in the beginning, you're just one of those morons that just goes there and mag dumps. But as time goes on, you actually try, you know, you focus, you... I kind of briefly mentioned, but I was hitting the timeout timer, but I used to weld a bunch of 4x4, like quarter-inch thick steel plates together, and I'd weld them like a T, and then I set one down, and then you shoot the top half of it, and it was always a lot of fun to do.
Yep, it's a ball, and I remember quite many times going to that pit and being the only one there. I kind of enjoyed the heck out of that. But you're right. If you kept going north, you know, where it wasn't very far, 100 yards or something like that north of there, the road took a turn to the east. Excuse me. And there was a little two-track that went up a little ways. But anyway... right where that road made the turn there, and the last house was, just north of that, there was all kinds of gravel diggings in there, too. So when the pit got really busy, you could wander your way into there and find another nice spot, too. And it was nice because it was dug down, so you had a nice big wall to use as a backstop kind of thing. It was a nice area. I liked being out there.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to find another spot comparable to that, just because it's, or, you know, it'd be really nice to just move out there and have my own spot. But yeah, then I got to get into reloading and all that, too, because that stuff all gets pretty expensive. But it sounds like you're pretty well-versed in all that. I never quite got into it, but that was close, and then I learned how to scuba dive, and then I learned about ham radio. So it's falling behind in my attention span or what have you, but with you guys talking about it all the time now and some of the stuff that's been popping up in my social media feeds. And I think it would be fun to bring to at least start to dabble in it again to some small degree. I don't know if I'll go all in like I tend to do on all my hobbies, but we'll see. If I can squeeze it in, I'll try. And that'd be great to see you out there. You could teach me a thing or 10.
Yeah, I got into hand loading maybe 30 years ago, I guess, and I didn't have anybody else to show me the ropes or ask questions with or whatever. I just had to buy everything I could and read, and try it out, you know. best way to learn is to try and see what happens, you know. Stay within the recipe, and you're usually pretty safe. But I'm kind of glad I did that a long time ago because the same kind of thing. Other little things pop up like ham radio and different other things, and at least I was all set up for it a long time ago. And now there's supposed to be another ammo shortage on the rise. Some of the ammo manufacturers are now in trouble, so the outlook for ammo in the future is not too good. And Some of us at Load, we've got all the components for quite a few years, you know, kind of thing. So it don't really matter to us, but it sure will to those that got to buy factory ammo.
Yeah, that would be me. I will definitely be probably, you know, I always would get the Remington UMC, I think it was, for pistol charges, you know, the yellow box of 250 rounds of, I had 380, I had a little fake P2, I still have a fake P238 that I love. King's a little bit of a bear to take apart and put back together, but it's awesome. And then I have a couple of P226s, so I'm kind of a sick guy. But yeah, I would always try to get brass, you know, ammo, and it was fun. It was a good hobby. It kept me out of trouble for the most part. I did have a ricochet of something. I don't know what. I don't know if it was the shell coming out of the gun or a ricochet, but something got me in the eye, and that was a bummer. I was like basically seeing white in one eye for like 3 days. but now I see fine, except for like there's a, I think you might call it kind of like a cataract. I don't know, but at night lights look a little weird. They look like stars or something. but I don't know. I kind of learned the importance of the safety glasses. but at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, when you need your pistol, you're probably not going to put your safety glasses on, you know. And so I don't know. That's just my ignorance showing, I guess. But you live and you learn.
Well, that's a bummer, and you never know when or, you know, how something like that's going to happen. I went to the Lapeer Sportsman's Club there in Lapeer, and they were having a bowling pin shoot, and it was an indoor range kind of thing. So I went on in there, and they had a fire line there, and a lot of people backed up behind it kind of thing, just shooting the breeze. And I was talking to the range officer and his wife to the rifle range, and we were just standing there talking, and the guy was shooting a bowling pin. It was a .45. A 1911, and all of a sudden, wham, I got hit in the leg. I guess a round had bounced off of the bowling pin and came flying back and hit me in the leg. Just glanced on the side, boy, did that hurt. And I immediately decided I didn't want to hang out there a whole lot longer. If they could ricochet back like that, there's a whole crowd of people standing there, you know, kind of thing, so... Anyway, I moved into another room, and I shot the breeze in that room. KEAWOJ.
Yeah. You know, a lot of my time dealing with, you know, the rifles and whatnot, I was a bit younger, you know. As I got older, I did get a little wiser and smarter, and... it's easy to get yourself in trouble, and removing yourself from the situation is a good idea. And it's weird because, you know, you would think something like a bowling pin, a thin quarter inch metal plate welded, you know, like a T. An upside down T, you know, it seems like that type of thing would not send a ricochet back to you, but you just never know. And you know, I must have been a perfect shot on that bowling pin to just send it nearly straight back. And you know, one of those things that they couldn't do again if they tried, you know. And I think it's pretty important. I've learned to treat all the guns and, you know, just like they're loaded and, you know, like all the things they say, you know, but also, you know, get out of Dodge when you don't need to be there. And so, But yeah, I don't know. It's a fun hobby as long as you're safe and smart about it. And so, yeah, good times. I miss the good old days.
Aren't you guys?
Gotcha, didn't we? same thing happened to me. I started talking with Dakota about your stuff and got me all fired up again. So what is it you got to buy now?
I just clicked the buy button midway. Bought a Noveski forearm for my 300 black bill. That's the only thing I've been missing. Damn it.
welcome to the club. That's what you get for hanging out on your own channel.
Yeah. Well, congrats. It's easy to be frustrated, but you'll like it when you get it.
Yeah, I've had picked up the barrel with the headspace bolt and from Noveski some time ago. I had been waiting for one. I kind of wanted to do, I think, Rick, I was telling you about this. I've had a few 300 blacks, and I want to get one back in the safe. And I sold my last one, and I was looking to kind of go more, I wouldn't say boutique, but I'm doing it up on my favorite receivers, and it's just an upper. I'm just building an upper for my SBR. But I figured I wanted to do it with one of my mega uppers with a Noveski barrel, with a Noveski headspace bolt, and then it's 10.5 inch, and I looked around for what my options were for handguards, and really the Noveski is the best one, the one they sell with it. So Noveski barrel and the Noveski handguard. So finally you get it done. It's the only thing I was lacking to get that build done. Oh, well.
Connected to CMN Network.
Oh, you'll love it. And I didn't know you didn't have. I thought you had one in the safe already. And you do have a knack for buying the top quality components too. I gotta give you that. So it should be a shooter. I just got a few hundred 308 125 grain ballistic tips, and when I got them, I thought, boy, that would be good for a 300 blackout also. I was half tempted to look into that, but I am not working, so I gotta, and I just got through buying two barrels, so I gotta cool it. KEAWOJ, Jeff.
KEAWUO. Yeah, you guys keep talking about these guns. I'm gonna have to get me, I always had my eye, I don't know how you guys feel about the verdicts. But I loved my SIG 716. There was a lot of talk about the piston-driven ARs versus the direct impingement and all that. And I got, all into the piston-driven stuff. And then when SIG came out with the Verdix and the MCXs and all that, I kind of fell in love with those. And I've always wanted to put one of those together with, I kind of want a 300 blackout barrel. I kind of want a 223 because it's easier to find ammo, I don't know. I also really like the Noveskis, that you have there, Sean. Those things are, like, top of the line, like Rick's saying. And those would be really cool. I've never even seen one, so you'll have to show me one day. But over to Sean, KEAWUO.
Yeah, well, there's really no excuse. It's been sitting there waiting for me to build it up. The barrel came in. I was having trouble getting the barrel. I just was waiting,
the first one I did up was a, I think I, was it a 8-inch? Or was it a 7.5-inch? And, but they did a little, they were finding that the twist was a little wrong on them very early, and the 7-inch was not really the most sweet spot for it. And I kind of didn't want to go over 10, but I did a lot of reading on it and all that, and 10.5 makes a lot of sense. I can still put my can on it. I got a can that, you know, with the can, it'll take it out to about normal M4 length. And without the can, you know, 10.5 inches, so it's quite totable. I like the 300 black. I don't know. I think it's fallen out of favor a little bit. But, you know, when you can neck, you know, when you can re-neck the 5.56 cases and use just, you know, plentiful 308 bullets, and that's what appealed to me, is the fact that the component pieces to make your own, to roll your own, are just the most commonly available brass and bullets out there. And it's got durable. And now that they've dropped the straight wall requirements for south of the rifle shotgun line, hell, that's my southern, that'd be my ideal southern Michigan deer rifle.
Yes, sir, you got that right. And I was just thinking, since they did that, you know, change the requirements for the Zone 3 here, my 350 Legend's almost history now. All of them are. The 400 Legend, what was the other? There's two others. They'll be going by the wayside here, or at least in Michigan anyway. And doggone, something else I was going to ask you. The short-barreled rifles, is there anything special you got to do when you get the barrels that short? When it comes back around there, let me know what you got to do. If you got to register them or what? Is that considered like a pistol, or do they treat them different from the normal rifles? I've never had one that short. John, go ahead.
Yeah, so that is interesting, and I'll be looking forward to Sean's answer on that question as well. Other than that, I do find it interesting. I didn't really realize that you could take a .223 shell casing and re-neck it and make it work for 300 blackout with the 308 round. But that's, I could see why you would find that intriguing, especially if you reload your own, you know. So over to Sean.
Roger. Well, yeah, you gotta have a lower that's been SBR'd, and you know, I haven't been keeping track. I know they dropped the fee for the stamp for the silencers. I don't know if they did for the SBRs and the SBSs and stuff, but I'm gonna look that up right now. But you know, it's an NFA. Class 3 firearm is a bad term. It's an NFA firearm, and you got to get a stamp for it. Was $250, and you would quote unquote manufacture your own, so you'd get a lower, and then you'd have to go and have it engraved with your information. In my case, it's, you know, my trust, and because it belongs to my trust, and so it's serialized and. It just says property of, you know, my trust. And then it's got a stamp that I keep with it tucked in the buttstock in case I ever get inquiring minds while I'm out somewhere with it. But, you know, if you own one SBR lower, then you can have all the short uppers you want, because
there's no constructive intent when you actually have something you can pop them on.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's good to know. I have one Colt lower, and I think five or six uppers. Yeah, you can do the same thing with the short build stuff, too. Well, that's interesting. I might have to look into that myself there, but it'd be interesting to, you know, I've been keeping tabs on the Supreme Court, you know, and they've been hammering all these registrations and all the stuff you got to do, all the hoops you got to jump through. They've been voting them down kind of thing. It's unconstitutional, but who knows how long before all that stuff goes into effect, you know. I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see. John, go ahead.
Yeah, it's weird that they, you know, would want a tax stamp and all that for SBR, but you can get, you know, a .223 pistol, you know, it's like with a real short barrel and all that, and it's like because it's a pistol, it's legal, and it's not a short barrel rifle, but it uses, like, it kind of is, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. The gun thing did get a little weird there, so hopefully they can fix it all.
Never been a fan of the pistols. I built a 300 Black pistol before my last 300 Black short barrel rifle, and I sold that during the Obama fear-mongering. Everybody, they're going to take our guns, and, oh, God, I cleaned up. I sold all sorts of stuff because I knew it was only a short-lived thing. And I also had a line on Colt 6940s. I could get them at a reasonable cost, like around $800-$900, and they were selling for $2,500-$2,600. And it was crazy. People were just freaking out. But I sold my my mediocre, put together, you know, Palmetto State Armory build pistol, 300 Black pistol, and I sold that for good money. Sold a couple of other, those PSA type, you know, nothing wrong with them. You know, they're fine. They're all mil spec, right? But sold those and upgraded to, you know, actual Colts and boutique stuff. That's when I got into my Mega Arms and Noveski and all that stuff. So was able to. I did real well in that that Obama scare. And but yeah, you gotta pay a $200 stamp. So you gotta get it engraved with your you're the manufacturer, and so you gotta get I had a trust and an NFA trust, and so I had that engraved on the weapon, and then I had to just fill out the paperwork that I was. Yeah, I was manufacturing a short barrel rifle. So now that lower, as long as it sits in my safe, I can have all the sub 16-inch uppers I want, because they all go with that lower exclusively. I have one lower I did up. It's rifle, you know, it's got a rifle stock, and it's for my longer rifle gas uppers. That's mostly for, like, bench stuff. Target stuff. I got one I did up white oak armament using an SBR barrel, and that's kind of my long range one. I got a little glass on that one, and then I've got but most of the ones I have are all SBSs, SBRs. So, but $200 and just a little paperwork, and you could have actual stock on those shorties. You don't have to play that silly pistol game, which I think, you know, it's even worse because, you know, you still got to register those anyhow. But, whatever, I'm babbling. It's been a while. I'm rusty.
Well, you got me drooling over here. White Oak Armory, Noveski, CSOP. You buy the good stuff. Yeah, I do have a .223 pistol. I have a single shot Encore with a 15-inch 223 barrel, rifle sights on it. It's kind of fun. It's only a single shot, but it's a ball to shoot. I kind of enjoy the heck out of that thing. I might be turning that into a rifle soon.
Yeah, I'm a little rusty too. I don't have a whole lot to contribute this round, so I'll pass it back over to Sean, KEAWUO.
That's all fun. Got to get out though. Got to get out. That's the key. You know, the other thing I really enjoy is the old military weapons. I've got a 03A3. Got a Grand, got a London Small Arms SMLE. I'll tell you, I enjoy shooting those as much as anything. I like my Erector set guns. You know, they're great, and I really warmed up to those some few years back. But boy, I'll tell you what, get my Grand out or my 03A3 or. Or even the, I really love my LSA SMLE. That's a great gun too. The 303 British. There's a guy at that flea market we went to. Guy said he had four. Get this. Said he had 4 million rounds. He's 80 years old. He says he's been collecting ammunition since he was a little kid. And he had truckloads of it, everything you could imagine. And he wasn't particularly cheap because he had some really nice grand ammo, like 72 vintage ball with the clips and everything. And but he was pushing $2 a round on that stuff, so it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't especially with the end clips, but. End blocks, but he had some 303 British, but you probably that stuff is using that cordite, and some of those would be that stuff. Some of that went bad, I understand. I've never had a problem, but and I got a bunch of it, old stuff. It's like you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? It's like I hate using it, but what's the point if you don't use it? It's like, darn it, W8FU.
John, we're going to have to kidnap him and get him out to a race. Sounds like he could outfit half of the county. I understand you like shooting the old military stuff, too. As long as it's got a trigger, goes bang, and it's halfway accurate, I'm in kind of thing. I used to be a rifle snob in the 90s kind of thing. If it didn't have a heavy barrel and a bolt action, I was kind of a snob kind of thing, you know. And I really looked down on the ARs. a couple guys at the Lapeer Sportsman's Club kind of talked me into shooting one of the, a couple of theirs kind of thing. And, I was instantly hooked. Next thing you know, I was headed for Williams over there in Davison to get myself an AR. KAWOJ.
Oh, yeah. I love Williams. That's one of the staples that we would always go to around here. That's a good store. I think that's where I got a good portion of the rifles I have. And, I don't know. I just reminiscing about the good old days when I was, fresh out of high school. You could go to Dunham's and they sold SKSs and AKs. And I think the SKS back in the day was $109 and the AK was $300. And I did buy one and I loved it and it was a lot of fun. But nowadays those things are... And I honestly don't know. I haven't looked, but I know they're over $1,200. So it's crazy how much the pricing has changed over time, especially on something that's like surplus, But yeah, we We definitely need to kidnap Sean and bring him out to the range. That sounds like fun. I don't know if we'll be able to, though. Because he can outgun us.
Hold on. I'm having a kitty and puppy are having a moment here. I'll be back. WFU.
Yeah, John, I was thinking the same. It'd be, we'd have to try to trick them into going to a breakfast. But then how do you get them to bring all them guns to a breakfast?
Yeah, I think he'll pick up on it too quick. We'll have to kick the can down the road or maybe offer to clean them for free. I don't know. I don't think even that will work. I don't know if I'd let someone clean mine. I kind of like doing it myself. Well, cool, man. John, if you're able, back to me.
Yeah, the kitten's been wandering out, cruising the house, which is great. That's what I've been waiting for. He's been holed up in my room since we brought him home, and he's starting to brave the house, but every once in a while he'll get nose-to-nose with the dog, and they haven't quite worked it out yet. They're getting better, but just had a situation, and I didn't want the cat running down the basement and disappearing, so I had to intervene. But, no, I get out. I really got to do it. There's no real excuse for it. I've got plenty of things I need to get out there. And now that I got this Novesky upper coming, I absolutely have to, you know, when that comes in, there's no excuse. Like, yeah, I'll have to get that out. And I've got a couple others. I got to get that 700 that I built up out. Haven't had that out yet. My son's been bugging me, so can't leave him out. So I'll plan something with him, and I'll let everybody know, and we'll figure it out from there.
Well, that sounds good. Now, watch you get all something all going and set up, and I'll end up in the hospital again. I missed my 50th high school reunion that way. But, oh, well. And yeah, you got to, the little kitten's got to be kind of comfortable there. He can't be scared in his own house kind of thing. So, yeah, they'll work it out sooner or later. My cat's the same way. It was feral, and we got two of them in the house already. So he stays down in the basement with me, and I've been slowly, the big male comes down, and he knows my cat's down there. So they've been playing through the door. There's a gap underneath the door, and they've been sticking their paws through the door and playing. So I've been kind of opening the door and letting them see each other and get a little sniff of each other. It looks like they might get along, but the female, I don't know. She's gonna I think she's going to cause some problems, but they're just like kids. 88WOJ, John?
Yeah. You know, that anytime you have like a kitten or a puppy, you know, taking them and introducing them to other animals can be a little bit of a gamble because you don't know how they're going to react. And those first moments of interaction together kind of sets the tone. So yeah, I can definitely understand why you'd want to kind of intervene and help to control how that transpires, because one of the most valuable lessons I've learned in life is some mistakes you only get to make once, you know, and it might not be my fear, but it kind of does that. If it doesn't go well, it's going to be an uphill battle. But yeah, Rick, you better not end up in the hospital. we'll have to kidnap you out of the hospital. We'll take you out to the race. Over to Sean, KZAWUO.
Yeah, that's right. You got to take care of that stuff for when we do get off our horses and get something planned. But we've certainly been talking about it long enough. I gotta make good. Get out there. Getting lazy on it. Anywho, it's after 10 here. I got some things I got to take care of, and work towards getting to bed. I don't know if you guys will draw me out of the woodwork again, but you made me buy my upper. Thank you. I'm just kidding. I needed to get off my butt on that. I guess I needed to hear the conversation. All right, I'm going to get to it here. I'll be listening. Don't talk bad about me. WFU.
You know, I was just wondering if our conversations about guns and shooting on the air were a good thing or a bad thing there, and I was starting to believe it was probably a bad thing kind of thing, but now I think it may be a good thing. It gets you going. And, yeah, you're right. It's getting kind of late, and I got some Haagen-Dazs waiting for me in the freezer. And John, are you wandering around the house with an HT? Because the last couple of you were clear as a bell most of the time, and then all of a sudden the last couple of transmissions were pretty rough. But anyway, I am going to join Sean there and head down for some Haagen-Dazs, and we will catch you later. It was a good talk. Can't wait to do it again. KE8WOJ.
Yeah, I was actually out mobile driving around. I'm back home now, and so you guys helped get me back home, and appreciate that, and hopefully I'm coming in all right. But I think by this time next week, I'll have a new radio, so, and it'll have more watts behind it, so I'm excited for that. But with that, I'll let you guys both call it a night. Enjoy the cat. Enjoy the Haagen-Dazs. And we'll talk again soon. This is KE8WUO.
Yep, you're loud and clear now. Well, cool. You got a new radio coming, and we got to see about getting you hooked on another rifle or scope or something. Anyway, take it easy, KE8WOJ.